Democracy is good if you're an idiot with money and you don't have big goals.
So this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I have the one and only Ray Higdon. So let me just talk a little bit before I bring him on. I think the first encounter we had with Ray was probably back in 2010. Was Noomies 2010?
Yes. Yeah, 2009, 2010, sure.
10. Yes, yes. So, and the only the one thing I find that's just very strange is that we have awfully a lot of things in common. And a lot of the things in the stories, which we're going to get into here in a few minutes. I just admire, what I admire the most in this industry is the fact that there are quite a lot of people that actually keep it straightforward with a lot of people, but people just want what they want, you know? And sometimes you don't paint things up to make it look fancier. People would rather follow the people that make, you know, that may paint things up to be what is not for them, rather than people that tell them the truth. And one of the people that I know is that I like as the straight shooter in this industry of making money from home or creating the business from home. And I have one of them here today. And I'm very appreciative when I see that, because the way I was raised, I'm not really good at painting things up and make it look fancier. So when I see people doing very well just by simply telling the truth, it's a big deal for me. And he's done very well for himself. I'm going to let him tell all the numbers and all those crazy things. But I know that he does a couple of $1 million per year right now with his business. And I'm excited to have this conversation with him. Without any further ado, Ray Higdon.
All right. Happy to be on here. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm excited to have you, man. And I had a chance to work with you in the past. Yeah. And I've watched you over the years. And we continue to connect every now and then for whatever reason. Sometimes I will ask even questions from you. And I continue to just follow. And if I'm looking for yardstick to see how I'm doing in the game, sometimes you're one of the people I will look up and say, let me see what Ray is up to.
You know? Well, cool, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad to have you on board. So what's your story, man? I have an idea, but if you can just share your story, you know, 5 minutes version of it.
Sure. So, you know, I'm someone that I had worked hard. I'd worked my way up corporate America and was, you know, got to, you know, a decent salary. And I just realized that I wasn't happy. It wasn't fulfilling me. I was spending more time with pictures of my kids than the real thing. And I decided to go out on my own and, you know, become an entrepreneur. And back then that was in the real estate game here in the state of Florida, and did well for a few years until the market changed. And then I got beat up really bad. I lost everything that I made. I was in personal foreclosure. A friend of mine invited me to a home meeting, and I went to it, and I'm just like, I got nothing else going on in my life. I'm going to throw everything I can at this, and ended up becoming the number one income earner in that company. We didn't really intend to, but we built a coaching and training business geared for network marketers and online marketers. And that's what has grown over the last few years. Earlier this year, we decided to stop building a network marketing team actively and sold our position so that we could focus on coaching and training the industry as a whole. And just last week, just a week ago today, actually, our company was announced to be on the Inc. 5000 as one of the fastest growing companies in the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations on that, man. That's a big deal.
Yeah, thanks, man. You know, so it's been a wild ride, you know, from foreclosure to, you know, to multi-million dollars a year is pretty, you know, wild. And, you know, we're still, you know, I kind of pinch myself every day over all the different wonderful things that have happened. But I also know that we're just scratching the surface, because we're very dedicated to impacting more people and just being an example of good entrepreneurs and trainers that help people.
Very nice, very nice. So let me get this straight. You left the holy grail of residual income, MLM, network marketing, to go focus on your own business and your coaching, pretty much your coaching business, right?
Right.
What is going on with that? I mean, some people would say, no, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you need the holy grail of passive income, right?
And just,
you know, the idea is to not work so much. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. No, I get it. It's a great question. You know, I mean, we had built up to, you know, our best month was $50,000 in a network marketing company. We did do over $1 million in commissions and the one company and was doing multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in the second company. And for us, first of all, I don't recommend that for everybody, right? To just, you know, sell off an asset that's producing residual income. For us, it kind of created a congruency problem in that I started getting hired, my wife and I, should I say, both of us are trainers. And, you know, we started getting hired by companies to go and do keynote speeches at their company events.
Right.
And, you know, there was, I had little things here and there where, you know, someone like hired us to go and speak at this big event. And then they're like, wait a minute, you're still active in a company, you know, and it just, you know, you leave yourself open to some issues there. And we just didn't want to deal with that issue. And so we just decided to focus on our business as a whole, which our business isn't, there's not, it's kind of weird because, you know, we have very, very steady months and we make lots of sales, you know, every month, but there isn't a residual model necessarily. We actually do investment vehicles for residual income now. So we do a lot of different, you know, insurance policies and different things, you know, with our money. So we actually make our money, you know, make money. But it was more a congruency thing. I didn't want someone to have to worry about, oh, should we, you know, fly him in and do a speech? And then what if some of our teammates end up on his team?
Absolutely.
And I didn't want to deal with that. And I didn't want that to be a hang up there. So it was a tough decision because I miss the, you know, the team events. I miss hanging with the team and running with them and stuff like that. It is cool. I still have a great relationship with them. So they actually invite me on, you know, certain things. So I do go hang out with them every once in a while, just not like we used to. But yeah, that was the main point is we didn't want to deal with that kind of issue. If our goal is to raise the profession as a whole, that's very hard to do if you have a position in a company.
And it's true. People would get attracted to the leaders and they will hear you speak on stage. And there's somebody that will say, let me find out what primary company is up to. And I want to join that. Even if that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be successful, right? Well, people will just
correct.
Do that. All right, cool.
Correct.
That makes sense. Now your background is in real estate, right? And when you say real estate investment, wholesaling, the whole nine yard, which part of it exactly were you engaged in?
Yeah. So, you know, we did a few things. So I read my first book on real estate in April of 2004 by a gentleman named Russ Whitney, who's now my mentor.
Okay.
And so I'm actually on the phone with him every week.
I know Russ Whitney.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I read his book, Building Wealth. 1 year later, me and a partner had 37 rental units. And, you know, we leveraged
we became landlords.
yeah. We became landlords, you know, pretty rough areas, cash flowing properties. And, you know, so we, you know, kicked out drug dealers. We did all kinds of stuff, had guns pulled on us. We, the whole nine yards. Mm. And so that was kind of stage one of the real estate career. And then I remember I had one deal that was it was a duplex deal. And it didn't quite hit our numbers, but it was pretty good. It was a pretty good deal, but it didn't quite hit our numbers. And I thought, you know, I bet someone else would buy this because I saw other people buying numbers that didn't make sense to me, but they were buying it. And so I approached somebody and I said, hey, you know, look at these numbers. Would you buy this? And they're like, oh man, these are great. And I said, well, you know, I'd be happy to pass you the deal. You know, maybe, you know, throw me a couple thousand. And so I gave them my contract and they gave me a few thousand bucks and I'm like, wow, that was really easy. And so I became a wholesaling just freak of nature. So we were moving 10 to 12 contracts a month. I actually trained negotiators. So I mainly manage the marketing hub and I train negotiators to go into kitchens and negotiate deals. And then they come back and I would market the deals. So the last couple hundred contracts or houses, you want to say, that we moved, I never saw. I was sending people into the field and I trained them.
Okay.
And so yeah, we were mainly wholesaling. I did some fix and flips. Some of them worked out, some didn't. That definitely wasn't my specialty. The rentals, we were able to sell some before the total crash. Most of them I got beat up on. So
by any chance, was that 2008?
Yeah. So it was 2004 is when we first, the end of 2004 is when we first started investing.
Right.
It was 2008 where I got wiped out.
Yeah.
And so 2008 and most of 2009, I was just brutally financially destroyed.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. That was my own fault. You know, I back then I was very hesitant to, pay money for my education. I didn't have a mentor. I'd never bought a real estate course. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't do any of that stuff. And, I was cooler than that. And the reality was I was just in a hot market and I didn't realize that because I'd never experienced a cold market until it happened. And then I realized I wasn't that smart.
That obviously this is the part where I said we have awfully a lot in common. You have two boys. Right. And a little daughter now.
Now a little girl. Yeah.
Right. So I have two boys now. We'll get into that conversation later. I know. Yeah. I saw your boys are pretty tall now. The real estate crashed in 2008. I got wiped out with that too. I had a pretty healthy business that got wiped out at the same time. And I came to find out probably more recently in the last 2 years that it wasn't just me because I would keep it under wraps and not really talk much about it. I just went back into working hard. That's essentially what I did. That's how I found myself online in 2009. And I didn't have enough minutes to even relax and say, what exactly happened? How can I learn from that? And how can I take what I've learned into the years to come? So it took me a while to do that, to take that 1 minute at least to relax and see what happened. Now, based on what you know today right now, right, because quite a lot of my audience are now real estate wholesalers, people that want to do real estate. What would you do differently if you were still in the game of real estate wholesaling, investing, based on what you know right now?
Sure. So couple things. One, I would we now at our how we do our business, which is mainly if you boil it down, it's information marketing. I mean, we do speaking events, we do coaching, we sell masterminds, we have products, but it's mainly information marketing, really. So a couple things. One, I would hire people that know stuff you don't know. And I don't just mean outsourcing. I mean like mentors. We can't get enough mentors. I just spent 3 days with a branding expert a couple weeks back. I have like Russ. I mean, I pay him every single month to just be in my business and help me look at our income streams. I have a half day coaching session with someone on Saturday. I'm constantly looking. I mean, we've invested now. It's probably now close to $400,000 in coaches and mentors over the last 2 years. Just 2 years. Now, I'm not talking courses or travel or anything like that. I'm saying just joining masterminds. We joined the Joe Polish Mastermind. That's an average income of $19 million a year.
Yeah.
So that would be number one is taking some of my money and getting
in mentorship.
Investing in mentoring, investing in masterminds, and getting around people who are making it happen because it so greatly lessens your learning curve. I mean, we could have gotten to, 4 million a year without mentors. It just probably would have taken us 6 or 7 more years, right? So we would have gotten here just because I'm bullheaded and I'm a pit bull. But why not shrink that? Why not get that faster? Yeah. And that's what we've done. And that's, so that'd be number one. Number two, I would be a much better steward of my money. Back then, I mean, you know, we're moving 10 to 12 contracts, and you know, the last year that we were rocking, I mean, we were getting $50,000, $75,000 for some of these contracts. It was kind of crazy because these are big on the water houses. And, you know, I mean, I would say our average is probably closer to $10,000, $12,000 a contract. But, you know, we had some big ones in there. And so money was rolling in so easily. Mm-hmm. And it was just like money is just like coming like crazy. And I didn't appreciate it. Like, I just thought, oh, this is just how it goes. And so I would invest in.
You felt invisible?
I felt invincible. I felt brilliant. I thought I was a genius. And so, like, you know, a guy would come to me and be like, hey, you know, you want to go in on this, you know, we're drilling for oil wells. It's only a $30,000 investment. Sure, man. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't research it. I didn't honor the money. I didn't, like, respect it. So every one of those investments, hundreds of thousands of dollars, totally down the drain, never made a dime off any of those things. Yeah. So being a better steward of our money. So one way that we do that now is we actually take, you know, internet business, we take a percentage every single day and we put a percentage into an investment account and we put a percentage into a giving account. And this is where, you know, I look for opportunities to, you know, if I see a cool charity or if I, you know, whatever, I want to help someone out or something like that, I have that account that's dedicated to just, you know, writing a check for, you know, for whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we do that every single day and we invest a very healthy percentage of our money now in strong, solid, you know, foundations and things like that. I would say I would be much stronger in information marketing. You know, I did a little bit of this because I ran a RIA. So we had a real estate investor association in three different counties here in our area.
Okay.
And then we opened one in Morgantown, West Virginia. We opened one in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We had a couple others that never really opened. But so I kind of had the infrastructure, but I didn't know how to do real digital marketing. I really only knew how to sell at meetings.
So you didn't. Because one thing, because I always say I'm lucky because the first trainings I went through, my first training that I went through was in December 2004. And I was lucky that this particular training I went through around February, March of 2005, I was lucky that the first thing they were teaching me was direct mailing, which is marketing.
That's
but
awesome.
I didn't exactly know that that's actually marketing. I didn't, like, you know how you put it together in your head and you know that this is why I'm doing this. There's a purpose behind why you're doing it. In content marketing, let's get into content marketing a little bit. You just said you would do a little bit more information marketing.
Yeah.
You did kind of, but you would probably put it together a little bit more and make it like a major. Are you saying you'll make it a major part of the operation?
Major part. It would be a huge part of the operation. We did what we knew how to do, and that's we knew how to run events. We knew how to bring in speakers and, you know, the guru speakers, the, you know, Ron LeGrand, Lou Brown, you know, Robert Sheeman, all these guys. We would bring all the, you know, the big gurus in. They would sell it. We would get a cut. That's what we knew to do. Knowing what I know now, I would have just built an information empire that had digital products for sale, that had recordings for sale. I would take snippets out of events and use them as blog posts. I didn't do those kind of things. I had a website and I would do event marketing online, which is different than content marketing.
Right.
But I would just information marketing would be a major, major key so that, you know, if there was a dip in real estate, you don't see that as much in information.
Yeah.
You know, most people are hungry for information all the time, whether it's a hot market or not.
Absolutely.
So could have adapted a lot better there.
You know, my last interview was with the famous David Wood. And, you know, we got to know him because there was really one thing he was good at, which is content marketing.
Yeah.
And before he decided to become an MLM company owner.
Yeah.
And my conversation, and when you just go, if you're watching, just go back and watch that because I feel like he's having the same epiphany that we're talking about right now, where you kind of walk away from that and you come to realize that, wait, I can't do that. I can't walk away from creating content for my business, no matter what, no matter how big I get, right? And I know that you're a big advocate for that as well, right? And I know that you're crazy when it comes to content marketing. Like, there's nobody that have, like most people, when they have the level of success that you have, they would have stopped blogging long time ago.
Right.
Hello, right? I'm guilty of that, you know? Now, let me ask you this question. What do you say to people that watch you build that big YouTube channel, right? How many videos on that YouTube channel? And everything disappeared in one day. What would you say to that person? Doesn't it that kind of seem like you're walking backwards? What would you say?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I really look at everything happens for a reason. I mean, yeah, we had a YouTube channel, had over 20 million views, had almost 30,000 subscribers, and we had had people attacking it all the time, like for about a year. I mean, people, you know, I would get like 1,000 flags in like 4 minutes, which is just an automated software that, you know, people are paying to attack our channel. And so there's no legitimacy to it at all. And, you know, so I kind of figured, you know what, at some point this will probably get shut down. And it just depends. I mean, you know, some people would use that to just blow them out of the water. And then they would, you know, say, yeah, I used to be successful till YouTube. And you know what? I mean, you know, if you have a big purpose and you have a big vision of where you're going, you're going to have those things. You're going to have kicks in the shin. You're going to have punches to the face. And that's just one of them. So, you know, we looked at it, and I mean, the very next day I'm on Wistia and, going to town on that. And I look at it as, do I wish it didn't happen? Sure. But, it's okay. Life goes on. I mean, if you look at, you know, that happened the first time it got shut down, which was kind of weird. It got shut down in 2013, right? I believe. And then they gave it back to me.
They gave it back.
Mm-hmm. And then they took it back. They shut it back down. Mm. And, but 2013, that was our first $1 million year. Then we doubled. And I mean, we've grown by 529% despite YouTube. So I don't have, there may be an old YouTube channel out there somewhere, but we don't actively upload anything to YouTube.
Right.
So it's kind of like, so what? You know, you're going to have different challenges in life, and right. You know, you're going to have health issues. You're going to have family issues. You're going to have, you know, YouTube issues. You're going to have things like that. You're going to get, you know, you might get blacklisted by Google or something like that. And, you know, I mean, I obviously don't want that to happen either, but bring it. I mean, I'm going to keep going, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like, you can either crumble when you hit the brick wall, or you can, you know, say, all right, that brick wall kind of stung a little bit, but, you know, let's keep going. And that's what we did.
In the beginning, what was your biggest struggle?
In the beginning, what was my biggest struggle? I think, for me, the biggest struggle I guess you would call this in the beginning, but really before I really went at it, my biggest struggle was self-worth, because, you know, I had, you know, the only thing worse than being dead broke is being wealthy then being dead broke. Right. So if you're used to tuna and ramen noodles, then it's not that big a deal for you to be broke. Right. But if you're used to filet mignon and now you got to have dollar burger night, that's a problem. And so, you know, for me, I had a big problem with my self-worth. I thought that I'd lost it. I was ashamed that my girlfriend was paying my utility bills. I was ashamed that her parents were asking her what I did. And she's like, well, he's kind of trying to figure things out. And, you know, and I'm just like, you know, what the hell's wrong with me? You know, at one point I was motivated. At one point I left a big salary corporate job, and here I am, a freaking loser. And so in the beginning it was, you know, getting over those feelings of self-worth. And, but I'll tell you, when I caught that fire, I really never looked back. And there have been dips. There's been, you know, I think like 2012, I was feeling a little bit complacent, and I just like, you know, I don't know. I'm just like, man, this is unacceptable. I don't want to be complacent. I got to grow. And that's when we started this just really relentless growth pattern. 529%. The only reason I know that is from the Inc. 5000 thing. Mm-hmm. But we started just a relentless growth pattern after that. So, coasting makes me angry. Like it actually pisses me off because it means that I'm not showing up in the world the way I'm meant to. And, you know, so I have to show up big or I'm not showing up the way that I'm meant to. And that means something to me. And so I have to keep showing up big. It's something that drives me. It's something that pulls me to do the stuff that I need to do. And that's kind of where I'm at.
You know, to be honest, I everything you're saying, I can absolutely relate to because even the interviews that I'm doing right now, you know, it's my 140th episode, you know. Wow. So I shied away from doing interviews for a while because I'm like, I don't want to chase people around, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm having a blast.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. So you just told me what you struggled with in the beginning. So that sound like more like in the beginning of you coming online or you getting into the home business arena. Is that?
Yeah, get into the home business, kind of getting out of my real estate funk and getting into a new chapter. Because one of the things that happened with me is, you know, real estate is cool. You know, like people are like, oh, real estate, sweet. Mm-hmm. Network marketing, not cool, right? There's a stigma around it. A lot of real estate people don't respect it. And right. So, you know, I had people that were like, oh, you're doing one of those things, huh?
Right.
I hear that, buddy. And I'm just like, all right, cool. You know, like it was game on. Like that, all of that was just fuel for the fire. Absolutely. And, you know, when they saw, you know, us,
$50
a month, they're like, whoa, you can do that in network marketing?
Right. It's all coming back in full circle for me because in the real estate world right now, like I'm speaking to somewhere tomorrow, speaking about social media tomorrow, it's coming in full circle. They're starting to pay attention. Some of the things that we picked up back in 2009.
Yeah.
You know, content marketing, internet marketing for MLMs, network marketing. Now the real estate people are paying attention to that because literally the only way you can bury your competition, I like using the word bury competition, right, is to really flood the whole place with content. Like
totally.
become valuable, right, in the marketplace, right?
Right.
We always knew that, but it's coming back. Now, let me ask you this question. That's when you started online. Now, every level you get to, right, in success, mm-hmm. trying to get to another level, it's a different animal entirely, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's your struggle right now, the level where you are right now?
I would say operations. You know, we have, you know, I now have a COO. I have, a customer support division. We have, you know, different VPs, VP of marketing, VP of strategic alliances. So for me, it's the operations mm-hmm. that I'm, you know, there's a transition that you make and some never make this transition. But if you want to get past, I would say, based on who I've talked to, I would say if you want to get past $5 million a year, you're going to have to go from entrepreneur mm-hmm. to business owner.
Right.
And, you know, I've really been a good example of an entrepreneur. I have an idea. I implement it. It makes money. You know, we want to sell coaching. We put it together. Bada bing. Where we've struggled is in the the scaling of different operational processes. Mm-hmm. So I've made a lot of terrible, I don't want to say terrible. I've made a lot of questionable decisions around hiring individuals. So I've had to, you know, I've had to let people go. I've had to adjust certain things. And, you know, so that has been the thing that's been interesting this past, I would say year is that space right there of going from a shoot from the hip, you know, let's put this offer together tomorrow. Right. Kind of know we need processes and we need systems and we need checklists and we need this. So it's
different. You got to think now, you got to think literally a year ahead of time, as opposed to I have the idea. Let me execute right now.
Yeah. Let me do a webinar tonight. Right.
Yeah. Let me do a webinar tonight. Now you got to create operation manual for the employees you're having. Yeah. I noticed that the first time I noticed that it was back in 2010. I was a gentleman. I was teaching outsourcing.
Yeah.
And I did that prematurely. I hired a kid, $250, $300. You could hire somebody in the Philippines.
Sure.
You know, after a few months, you're going to be like, listen, I just threw $1,000 away, you know?
Yeah. you can get cheap labor, but that's usually the most expensive thing on the planet. Yeah. Cheap labor is unable to be self-directed usually. Mm. And so, you know, finding quality people, but also, you know, you can, it's tough. This is something I'm learning through my different mentors, but you know, sometimes you can bring someone in too high and it's kind of like a death sentence because where do you go from there? And mm-hmm. so we've had that problem too, where we brought someone in at too much money and, right. you know, and it doesn't make sense, you know, percentage wise or logistically. And where do you go from there? Because most people don't want to take a cut mm-hmm. and they just look at, you know, so it's interesting. You do, there's a lot of issues around that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. That's really all I can say about that. Now, on to the next thing here. What do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
You know, it's, you know, if I go back 5 years, I mean, 5 years ago from today, if you told me I'd be on Inc. 5000 or whatever, I'd be like, what are you even talking about? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. So mm-hmm. I don't profess to really know what the next 5 years looks like, but I do know what drives me. What drives me is to impact more people. And that is the driving mechanism of which I evaluate all of my activities. Mm-hmm. And you know, the money I know that money comes, right? When you impact people and you get yourself out in front of more people that are looking to solve problems and you help them solve those problems, money comes. Mm-hmm. So money's been secondary for quite a while. I mean, in the beginning when I was dead broke and needed to pay bills, it was pretty primary. Mm-hmm. Now it's more secondary, but it comes because of what drives us. So, you know, if I had to take a guess, I'd be pretty surprised if based on who I'm surrounding myself with and based on the kind of education that I'm involved in, I guess I'd be pretty surprised if we weren't a $100 million a year company. Mm-hmm. I probably would look at that as like, okay, where wasn't I coachable?
Right.
We're not at $100 million in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I would ask myself, okay, where did I drop the ball and where wasn't I coachable? And for me, it's not like, you know, I mean, $100 million isn't even really like a goal. I believe we'll hit that because money, I have an instant translation of money to impact. And right. I know that we're going to impact a lot of people. I know that we'll be, you know, impacting millions of lives. And so that money should be there.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of how I equate it. You'll see, even in the next year, you'll see an interesting rebrand of what we're doing to be more scalable. And, you know, you'll see that it'll be less, not that I'm not looking to retire. I love what I do. So right. You know, why would I, but you'll see a less emphasis on, you know, raise face and more of an emphasis on what the company is doing to impact people.
Okay.
Kind of tough to explain, but you know, you'll see that over the next, that'll be in the next, you know, anywhere from, you know, 6-9 months.
Okay. Now a little controversial here, Eric Worre. You follow him, right?
Good friend, yeah.
Yeah, good friend too. All right. So Eric Worre, we also have this guy. I'm trying to remember his name right now. Well, we have Gary Vaynerchuk, right?
Sure.
Right. We have Eric Worre came for this gentleman. I'm trying to remember his name right now, but he came for him like a week ago. He did a video for him. It's a guy on Fox Money. He has a big podcast as well, but essentially was giving an advice to a person that was joining the network marketing.
Oh yeah. Dave Ramsey.
Ramsey. Right? Yeah, yeah. And the person, and that was an interesting situation for me because, Dave Ramsey felt the need to advise somebody in solid ways against it. Right.
Sure.
But apparently he detected that and like, no, stop giving that kind of advice, right?
Sure.
The average person that gets attracted to the home business arena are not necessarily people coming out of real estate investing, wholesaling. You know, we were punks and we were stupid, but we were kind of having experience at the same time. You know?
Right.
You built a $1 million business, it crashed in your face, you know.
Yeah.
Pick it up and you, but the mindset is a little bit different from somebody coming from their day job or somebody right. who's 55, 60 years old who has worked most of their life. They're just looking for a secondary income. The mindset's a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of time you've had stories of people invest $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, their life savings into sure. even simple traffic, and then overnight is done. Nothing, right? What where's the balance for you? Because the reality is that we have a lot of unrealistic people in the business.
Yeah.
And then we also know that there are stories like yours. There are big stories, beautiful stories sure. out there like yours. Where's the balance for you? What would you advise people that are coming into this game from a 9-to-5 job? Their mindset is a little bit different. They're different. They're not like us. We're crazy. We're not normal people.
Right.
Some of them, they need to have some kind of structure. And sometimes when they follow your story, they're going to make stupid decisions, you know?
Yeah.
Then they end up saying, oh, it's a scam, right?
Yeah.
What's the balance?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I get what you're saying there. One, you know, Dave, at least the exposure I've had with Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey is good if you're an idiot with money and you don't have big goals. Like if you want to be a multimillionaire, then Dave's not going to get you there. That's just fact. He'll teach you how to, all debt is bad and, make sure you don't get credit card debt, which is like, I'm pretty clueless about money. That's great advice, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, don't be an idiot about money. Yeah. Dave will help you there. But if you have like big goals, like I want to change my life, I want to travel the world, I want to, have, house on the water, Dave ain't going to get you there. Mm-hmm. One of the best things about network marketing is unfortunately also one of the worst, and that is the low barrier to entry. So years ago, in between real estate and network marketing, I bought an advertising franchise. And this advertising franchise was
another experience, right?
Yeah. I think it was $38,000. And that got us a big manual, about this big, huge, and 10 empty ad frames, right? So it's $40,000 manual, okay, pretty dry. Mm-hmm. 10 empty ad frames we would have to pay, to get ads in there. Mm. And a couple $1,000 a month to carry the heralded name of a company no one had ever heard of. And I did not make a dime with that. I went in the Florida heat, door to door, selling businesses, never made my money back. And it just, didn't work out. I'm not mad about it. It just is what it is.
Well, it is.
But how many people would go in and plop down $40,000 and think I'm going to be rich tomorrow? Not many, but it's interesting because of the low, to me, network marketing is the lowest risk, lowest overhead way for you to venture into the world of being an entrepreneur. Mm. You have an idea, no worries. Like everyone's watching Shark Tank right now. And I don't know about you, but I've never invented anything. And I don't have that inventor, Edison gene in me somewhere. Mm-hmm. So when I came in, I didn't have some crazy idea that I could sell and make millions or, Zipper or something like that. I just got people in front of my network marketing presentation and some bought, some didn't. Mm-hmm. And so it's low barrier to entry. It's low risk, low overhead. And that unfortunately attracts the masses, and it's good. It's good in that anybody with any kind of education can join a network marketing company, and it's bad because anyone with any education can join a network marketing company. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, having clear expectations, what really needs to be taught more is what does money mean? Mm. And that's something that's just not taught. Money is value. What value are you providing to your job? Your compensation is probably at least somewhere in there, right? Yeah. So the CEO, everyone's, for years, people have been up in arms at CEOs making lots of money. Mm-hmm. But, if they're cutting millions of dollars in expenses or their ideas are carrying forward tens of millions of dollars of new revenue to the shareholders, mm-hmm. they should be making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, the janitor, that could be replaced very easily should not be making a lot of money because it's not a skilled position.
Because that can't replace you.
It can be replaced very easily. And so the amount of value you bring to the marketplace or to your job,
right,
there's probably a correlating amount of income that you're making. So as an entrepreneur, if you're, or as a network marketer, mm-hmm, if you are someone that you are bold and talking to lots of people, mm-hmm, and you provide quality training to a large team, you're probably going to get compensated more than the person that doesn't. And so understanding money, that it doesn't come, you know, just for nothing. It's not a luck game or a scratch off lottery ticket. It's in respect to your habits and the amount of value you're bringing to the marketplace. If you understand that, then it makes sense. If you join a network marketing company, you talk to two people and you cry at home and eat ice cream because, mm-hmm, both of them told you no, you, yeah, shouldn't be making money.
You shouldn't.
It's just the deal.
Very simple. Yeah. Yeah. It's really an even playing ground for everybody at the end
of
it.
It is.
Yeah.
That's free. It's free enterprise. You know, you have, you know, if you look at, so some people that don't understand the industry, they think, oh, you got to be at the top. Well, I wasn't at the top. I was the 1131st person to join that company that we first met in.
Right.
And, you know, I outranked the person that recruited me, the person that recruited him, the, yep, person that recruited him, mm-hmm, and became the number one income earner. So it's not, you know, some.
And it all depends on your business model. Like my business model, if I'm involved in any company, I don't care for the ranks. It's just another source as far, sure, as I'm concerned. And there are people that I bring into the business that end up in that particular source making more money than I am. The idea that is the people at the top is, it's just stupid, and it always comes from somebody who has no clue as well, too.
No clue.
When, right, it comes down to it, either we're talking real estate investing, network marketing, internet marketing, affiliate marketing, moms and pops, it comes down to traffic and conversion. You know, I teach the three P's, people, product, and process, right?
Nice.
That's essentially traffic and conversion, you know?
Right.
What is your mindset when it comes to traffic and conversion?
Yeah, you know, it's just very simply, it's eyeballs in front of an offer. I mean, that's what it is. It's, you know, how many eyeballs, humans, because money comes from humans, how many eyeballs are you getting in front of an offer or offers? And so, you know, a lot of people, they have a great offer, but they're not making any sales because they're not getting any eyeballs on that offer. So they shouldn't be making money. You know, some people, they want to make money, but they don't even have an offer. How can you make money if you don't have an offer? So, you know, it's just eyeballs and offers. That's what it comes down to for sure.
Right.
And you can do that. You know, I mean, we teach online, offline, cold market, warm market. Mm-hmm. You can do it through any combination or any individual, you know, focus on any of those things. You can make a lot of money.
Right. You just finished a launch with your wife.
We did, yeah. A relaunch, yeah. Good.
Relaunch, you said?
Yeah, that was a relaunch. She did a product back in, I think, 2013, and we revised it. It was a social media recruiting product, mm-hmm, and we revised it, updated it, put a ton more bonuses in it, and relaunched it, and did, you know, that was a, I think we had it open for, you know, 10 days or something like that. And that did 750,000 or a little bit over 750,000 in sales.
Nice.
And, it was cool. Lots of testimonials. Lots of people loved the course and it was good.
Nice. Nice. Content marketing. How important do you think content marketing is? Or is it just good for network marketers? Or what's your take on this? I got a lot of people watching this from all kind of arenas of life.
So. Sure. Yeah, you know, I just spoke last week, last Thursday. I just spoke at the Chamber of Commerce Business Symposium. And, you know, they had a few hundred people there, mainly small business owners, some bigger businesses. And, you know, I just told them, I said, listen, you don't have to create content, but you also don't have to dominate. And, you know, so if what I want people to understand is,
I have to think about that for a second.
Yeah, I have to think about it. If you want to dominate in whatever niche you're in, and right, the truth is, and it's kind of weird for probably you to hear this, and it's weird for me to say it, not everyone wants to dominate. Some people, they want to be a multi six-figure business, operate by word of mouth. They don't want to dominate. And for them, creating content is optional. That makes them very, it's kind of risky in that if someone does want to dominate in their space and starts pummeling them with content, they will get wiped out, or they at least could be greatly impacted. There's a quote from the book Rework by Jason Fried, who created Basecamp, and he says, "Outteach your competition." That's the motto we live by. So, you know, I just had my buddy, and I think you know him too, my buddy Rob Ford, just, he did this little SEO audit for us, and he's like, dude, you have 5,000 blog posts.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, really? I'm like, wow, that's okay. And, you know, I mean, we just know that people are looking for education.
Right.
And we've taught this to a lot of different people. So, you know, my buddy Matthew Hamill out of Southern California, he went through one of our blogging courses, started blogging for his dad's kitchen redesign business. Mm. They added $750,000 in revenue in year one. Mm. My buddy Jeff Reimer out of Naples, Florida, he runs West Coast Generators that sells, you know, generators to houses in case lightning strikes.
Right.
And he stopped advertising with like Valpak and all these other things. And he added $400,000 in revenue year one from just blogging and creating content in a way that people could find it.
Right.
So you have to understand the majority, no matter what you're in, unless you're in like, if you're selling like little trinkets or, you know, like little $2 things or dollar
store,
like that. But if you're in any other kind of business other than the trinket business, most consumers are in the research and education mode. They're not in the buy mode. So, you know, for example, my buddy, you know, Jeff that sells generators, you know, people will go onto Google and search, okay, I have a 3,000 square foot house. What size of generator do I need? And, and what most generator companies, what do they have? A sale, 10% off. Well, that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for information.
Right.
And when you intercept what they're already looking for through content marketing and blogging, et cetera, then you're going to capture the bigger percentage of people who are in research mode and education mode versus ready to buy. And who will they trust when they're ready to buy? That's attraction marketing.
Yeah.
And who does this that people may not associate with is you look at Home Depot. Home Depot does attraction marketing. So they have a, you know, a Saturday clinic on how to lay tile.
They do.
Free.
Absolutely.
Come on down. Learn how to lay tile.
They actually come out now. They come out. They give you a free quote on the roof, on everything.
Yeah.
They don't. It's almost like they care, but they're not trying to get your money right now. They're just going to.
Yeah. Let me build a relationship with you. Let me give you something for free. Let me teach you something.
Right.
And, so more of that needs to be done. And, you know, it's funny because most small business owners, they blame their ad company or they blame, you know, I just paid this advertiser and I'm not getting anything. And it's like, well, what's your offer? And if your offer is, if you're a realtor and all you have is a listing, well, why don't you just smack a PayPal button on there and just, you know, just hope for the best. I mean, that's basically what they're doing. So instead, educate. You know, why should I buy in this community? What are the seven things I should ask a realtor before I hire him? What should I look out for in regards to Chinese drywall?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are all these things? That's education. That's what people want to know. And when you educate them, they see you as an authority, as a teacher, just like we did our teachers in grade school, and you have more influence over them, and they'll want to buy from you. They prefer to buy from you.
And that brings me back to the previous question I asked you, which was traffic and conversions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of internal things that goes on in the brain that will help some of them, not all of them, it could never be all of them, but enough to keep you in profit of those traffic to convert. A lot of that has to do with the trust equity that, or brand equity or whatever you have, hopefully you've planted in their brain at some point, or some goodwill that you've planted in their brain. Remember, depending on how they found you, it will help the conversion. I'm not really, I don't like selling, you know, but I do a great job at selling because usually that person is pre-framed from so much education from wherever they're coming from before they get there. And then people wonder like, oh, how come you can sell $15,000, $5,000 to like, well, because it's not just about selling that. It's about the brand equity, the trust equity. People do business with people, people that know, like, and trust, you know. Right. And sometimes that takes time, you know. And you are a big teacher for that in this arena, and I want to appreciate you for to do what you do, man. And, you know, like I said, there's not a lot of people that can keep a straight face and tell you the truth about building a business in this digital age, and you're one of them, my friend. So that's why you were one of the first few I had to contact to get on here to help us educate these people. Thank you so much.
Am I 141? Is that?
no, because it's my second interview.
Ah, okay.
I've been doing the one.
So I was going to question. I'm like, wait a minute, the first few, and I'm 140.
You're actually the third.
Okay, good. Okay, cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, the third interview, but about 141 or something like that episode.
Awesome.
I'm gonna have your beautiful wife up here very soon too.
Nice.
He hasn't replied to me, but we'll get to that. Yeah.
She's in mommy land, so she's
I know
communication isn't as solid.
Oh, man. Man, you know, tell me about it, you know. Where can people find you? They can find you at rahidin.com. Is there anywhere else you want them to contact you?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best. Over 7 years of training, apparently 5,000 blog posts, rayhigdon.com, rayhigdon.com.
Cool. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, man. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Enlightened, educated. I'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Discover how to make $5,000 to $82,000 per month for flipping real estate in your backyard, even if you're on a shoestring low budget. No cash, credit, or experience required. Just simply go to www.raflipcoach.com. Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. Networkmarketing2show.com.